From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Wednesday, that's right, it is Hump Day, August 3rd, 2016. We've got a great show in store for all of our listeners out there. Again, if you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. On today's show, we will chat with our dear friend, Mr. Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster who knows his stuff when it comes to the Detroit Tigers. He will talk about the Detroit Tigers winning now 7 straight games. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness, they are on a roll right now. But is it all smoke and mirrors, or is this team finally showing up? We'll chat with Richard about that. Also, I don't know if you heard about this story, but it's pretty comical. Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, he was interviewed by Fox Sports Radio. Didn't like how the interview was going, so he decided to completely hang up. You'll get to hear the audio from that interview, and we'll chat about it, so you don't want to miss that. Also, on the back end of the show, LeBron is chasing a certain ghost in Chicago, according to him. So we'll chat about that. And I think you know who that ghost is. Yeah. We'll go there later on, all right? Call in, though, 517-355-WKAR. Comment via our social media pages at facebook.com/currentsports or at my Twitter page at AlMartinWKAR, or even tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next. We start this party like we always do with your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, pretty cool story here. Michigan State has waived the normal waiting period and will induct former punter Mike Sadler, who passed away sadly a few weeks ago now due to a single car accident. But punter Mike Sadler will be inducted into the school's Athletic Hall of Fame in September. He's one of 8 honorees in the 2016 class that will be inducted September 22nd and also celebrated at that weekend's home football game against Wisconsin. Athletes usually must wait 10 years after their athletic eligibility has expired before being considered for the Michigan State Athletics Hall of Fame, but that was waived for this very, very special young man. All right, a day after unveiling their new unis, Michigan sent out its official 2017 scholarship offers to committed players and prospects. The letter, which included a picture of their new jerseys donning the Michael Jordan Jumpman symbol, also featured a line saying, quote, "We expect you to continue to strive for excellence as a student and as an athlete. This scholarship should serve as motivation towards continued growth, not an excuse to become complacent," end quote. Absolutely love that statement there. All right, the Associated Press has been ranking the best teams in the world of college football for the last 80 seasons. Since the first top 20 in 1936, 1,103 polls have been taken and 164 schools have been ranked. To determine an all-time top 100 for the first time, the Associated Press counted poll appearances, 1 point to mark consistency, number one rankings, 2 points to acknowledge elite programs, and gave a big bonus for AP championships won, which was 10 points. There were 5 Big Ten teams in the poll, which included Ohio State at numero uno. That's right, number one. How about that? Nebraska, which came in at number 6. Michigan, which came in at number 7. Penn State at number 12. And yes, the Spartans made it as well. Michigan State sits at 19th. The Detroit Tigers won their 7th straight game yesterday, defeating the Chicago White Sox 11-5. Again, I'll say it again. The Detroit Tigers won their 7th straight game, sparked by Andrew Romine in the 5th. The Detroit Tigers recorded 7 hits, 4 of them for extra bases, and blew the game open against Chicago righty James Shields. Now, Tigers pitcher Anibal Sanchez had a solid outing with 6 innings pitched, only allowing 1 run on 6 hits. He also walked 3 and struck out 2. Not a customarily, Anibal Sanchez start, but man, oh man, was he fantastic last night? Where has that Sanchez been all year? The Tigers are now within 3 games of the Cleveland Indians in the American League Central and stand 1 game in back of the league's 2nd wild card spot. Love this story. For the 2nd time, former Detroit Piston Rasheed Wallace lent a helping hand to the Flint water relief efforts. ESPN's Rachel Nichols and others helped in his delivery of bottled water last weekend to Flint homes, with Nichols chronicling the outreach. In February, the North Carolina basketball program announced Wallace drove a truckload of bottled water from North Carolina all the way to Flint, Michigan. Big ups to Rasheed. Gotta love that. Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time, has been selected as the U.S. flag bearer for the opening ceremony of the Rio de Janeiro Olympic Games by a vote of fellow Team USA members. Quote, "I'm honored to be chosen, proud to represent the U.S., and humbled by the significance of carrying the flag and all it stands for," Phelps said in a statement. Phelps, who made his Olympic debut 16 years ago in 2000, has a record 22 Olympic medals, including 18 gold. Wow. All right. L.A. Rams running back Trey Mason, from whom the team hasn't heard from, despite multiple attempts to contact, was admitted for evaluation to a hospital in late July after his mother called police in South Florida saying Mason was acting strangely. According to a police report, Palm Beach County Sheriff's officers arrived at his mother's house in Lake Charleston, Florida, after Tina Mason called to report that Trey was acting unusual and making irrational statements. According to the police report, Trey told officers that he was, quote, "going to call the White House and we were all going to lose our jobs," and that, quote, "the police were responsible for teaching Al-Qaeda how to fly planes, end quote. So really hoping that Trey can get back on his feet. That's a troubling story there. And last but not least, of course, primaries were yesterday, and Terrence Rhino Guerin is a WWE wrestler. He is also the winner of Tuesday's Republican primary in the 15th District State House race. Rhino, as he's known to wrestling fans, is running to represent part of Dearborn in the Michigan State House. Now, he chose to run for office under his real name, Terrence Guido Guerin. After initially announcing he would enter the race, Guerin spoke to WWE.com and explained his decision. Quote, "I've followed politics for decades," he said. "It's something I've always had a passion for. I love my country. I love my state of Michigan, and I love the city I live in. It's something I've thought about doing for a while," end quote. The winner of November's general election race in the 15th district will replace George Derenning, a Democrat who was prevented from running again due to a 3-term limit. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Michigan State, now one of 6 Power 5 schools with a winning percentage of 800 or better since the year 2010. Do you feel, Coach, that maybe you don't get the respect nationally because of those statistics? I don't see it.
Well, you know, we've been in the top 10 the last 3 years. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, you do what you do. I mean, you guys are the guys talking out there. You ask questions sometimes that don't really make a lot of sense. So, you know, at this point in time, we just focus on the future. And, you know, we're primed to do great things here in 2016. So we'll be ready.
Yeah, that one, the one where the coach says that you guys ask questions that don't make any sense. That hit close to home with me, Coach. I got to be honest with you. But I understand perfectly what you're talking about. I got to ask you about the state of your ball club now. Any injuries? And who's the new kid in town behind center? Coach? Coach is gone. He hung up. You got him all hot.
What did I say?
You got him hot.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a fun show in store for all of you guys out there. I wanted to start with the most interesting thing, as I always do. I always love to start with the most interesting thing I've seen in the last 24 hours leading up to 1 p.m. here on WKAR AM 870. And that one clearly took the cake. It wasn't even close, folks. I woke up this morning and I logged on my laptop and began to look at the rundown for today. And then I came across online an interview from Fox Sports Radio. And I want to call out the two individuals who host this radio show, Mike North and Andy Furman of the Fox Sports Daybreak Wednesday morning show. During the interview, Furman and North just butchered it. I don't know any other way to put it, folks. It was just bad. You know, I was brought up, you know, my mama used to say that, baby, there is no bad question. And I grew up really believing that. That's until I became a journalist, all right? Yeah, there is a such thing as a dumb question, all right, folks? And especially in our business. You know, when it comes to sports talk radio, when it comes to being a journalist or reporter, broadcaster, you have to do your homework. You have to. Simple as that. And the questioning from North and Furman to head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, leading up to that final one, I mean, who's the new kid in town behind center asking about the quarterback situation in lieu of the absence of now former Michigan State quarterback Connor Cook? The questions leading up to that question were just like, huh? You know, like, do you eat pasta with Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo? I mean, I'm sitting there saying to myself, you have to be kidding me. I only played the final two questions during that opening montage. And I know many of you out there that haven't heard this interview want to hear the entire thing. So, hey, why not? Isaac, can we play the entire thing? Let's play it right now. It's about 3 minutes. Check this out.
You've done a tremendous job out there, Coach. And, you know, you had the odds stacked against you like our buddy Tom Izzo. And you've done nothing but build a program. But I got to ask you this, because even in the radio business, whenever there's a new kid in town, whenever there's a new talk show host in town, you know what? You start looking, maybe taking a look at him. I want to know if at all, and I think you're an honest guy, has Jim Harbaugh gotten into your head a little bit with some of his antics and some of the things that he's doing in the neighboring school?
Well, you know, from day one when we came here, we've always competed with the school down the road. So, that's something natural that we have to deal with. And, so far, so good. So we focus on what we do. You know, that's what I've tried to do around here. And, that's what our players do as well, just like this morning.
He's Mark D'Antonio, head coach of Michigan State with Mike North. I'm Andy Furman. And Coach, Connor Cook leaves your program with a record of 34-5 as a team leader. I was somewhat shocked when I read last year that he was not named captain by his teammates. Was there any reason why? I thought that was somewhat unusual that his quarterback not voted captain by his teammates.
That's 2016. We're past that.
Hey, Coach, you eat pasta with Izzo? You guys get together and to spool the pasta? You guys hang out together?
Yeah, Tom's lived right down the street from me, about five houses. So very good friends, great guy. been very much involved in our program as well, and set the tone for our program. You know, they've won championships, things of that nature. So, we try to emulate a lot of the things. And, you know, their competitive attitude during practice and communication that they have during practice are things that we try to emulate as well. So it's one of those deals.
Michigan State now one of six Power 5 schools with a winning percentage of 800 or better since the year 2010. Do you feel, Coach, that maybe you don't get the respect nationally because of those statistics? I don't see it.
Well, you know, we've been in the top 10 the last 3 years. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, you do what you do. I mean, you guys are the guys talking out there. You ask questions sometimes that don't really make a lot of sense. So, you know, at this point in time, we just focus on the future. And, we're primed to do great things here in 2016. So we'll be ready.
Yeah, that one, the coach says that you guys ask questions that don't make any sense. That hit close to home with me, Coach. I got to be honest with you. But I understand perfectly what you're talking about. I got to ask you about the state of your ball club now. Any injuries? And who's the new kid in town behind center? Coach? Coach is gone. He hung up. He hung up. You got him all hot.
What did I say?
You got him hot.
What'd you say? What'd you do? Oh, my goodness. Again, folks, that was an interview that took place this morning on Fox Sports Daybreak Radio with Mike North and Andy Furman interviewing the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio. The questions leading up to the eventual click and hanging up from D'Antonio, he reached a boiling point. You know, but when you look at the questions leading up to the final one, who's the new kid behind center, I mean, you start off by asking the head coach of the Michigan State football team about his rival in Jim Harbaugh. Has Jim Harbaugh gotten into your head a little bit? You can't start an interview with a question like that. You got to soften the blow. I understand. That question is going to come. I probably would have asked it if Mark D'Antonio was on Current Sports today. But you've got to soften the blow. You got to ease into that. You just can't start off and just throw sticks into the fire right off the bat. So I didn't understand that. Mark D'Antonio handled it very well. Much better than any other coach out there. I tell you that. And then, you know, you bring up some old hat news in Connor Cook not being named captain. That's an ancient conversation now. So you go there next. I don't understand the order of these questions here. And then you totally go off the rails and asked about pasta and Tom Izzo. Do you eat pasta with Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo? I didn't understand that one. Then you go back to the whole respect thing, kind of in the same vein of the Jim Harbaugh question. And then you talk about, finally, some X's and O's concerning the football team. It was comical. And, Mark D'Antonio is a much better man than me because probably off rip with that first question, I may have went off. I probably would have hung up after the first question, to be honest with you. And it's amazing to me, though. I mean, when you evaluate the success of the Michigan State football program, specifically just to hone in on the last 6 years, folks, I mean, it's remarkable. It is absolutely remarkable what head coach Mark D'Antonio has done with the Spartans. And you look at the last 6 years, 5-11 win seasons in 6 years. They went to the college football playoff last year. In what, a 2 year infancy of that format of postseason. You know, they're one of eight teams to make it to the college football playoff. And I can't help but wonder, you know, when I hear Mark D'Antonio, you know, do these interviews on the national stage, he also was a part of SportsCenter's broadcast on ESPN yesterday. And then I think about how ESPN and other outlets have gotten his name wrong and call him Mark D'Antoni, you know, and you look, you go back to the whole, when the college football playoff was about to start, you know, you look at, you know, the Sports Illustrated cover with that went everywhere. And I actually still have that copy sitting on my coffee table right now. I mean, it's remarkable how many times and how often Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football program gets disrespected left and right. And you can't help but wonder that if you switch the success of the Michigan State and Michigan programs in the last six seasons, if Michigan would have went to the college football playoff last year, if Michigan in the last 6 years would have had five 11-win seasons, if you switch that storyline and put that amount of success in the last 6 years on the maize and blue, you would have an entirely different scenario, even more so than what we're seeing right now, because the spotlight is certainly on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football program. But just imagine if the proof was in the pudding the last 6 years when it comes to the win column. I mean, if you added that, I mean, they'll be favorites to win the entire national championship coming into this year. It's remarkable to me, folks. And, you know, Mark D'Antonio just handles it, and he takes it in stride. And I was listening to local sports talk stations here in the area this morning, and I listened to some of the callers that were out there, and I almost swerved off the road when I was driving, folks. There was one caller that called in and said, hey, Mark D'Antonio absolutely has no personality. You know, when it comes to the recruiting war, if a young man had to make his college football future decision based on the personalities of Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio, every kid would immediately just sign up to head out to Ann Arbor. And first off, that's just an ignorant comment to me, because a relationship between a college football coach or any athletic program for that matter, when it comes to the world of recruiting, it's a relationship that's cultivated over 4 years, okay? It isn't like, you know, Mark D'Antonio just enters a young man's living room for one day and that's it, and then the kid has to make his decision. No, this is a relationship that is cultivated over a four-year span. And the other thing I want to throw out there is that Mark D'Antonio's personality, the man that you see on television during press conferences, is not the man that I've come to know Mark D'Antonio is as away from the microphone and away from the camera. He's funny. He's witty. When he's in front of the camera, he's all business, as he should be, as he should be. His job is to go out there and to win football games. Simple as that. And the proof is in the pudding, folks. He's done that and more throughout his tenure here at Michigan State. So he's getting the job done. If you build it, they will come. If you win, they will come. And that's exactly what has happened to this program over the years. But still, Michigan State constantly is disrespected on a regular basis when it comes to the national media. But in a way, I do think that Mark D'Antonio likes it, because it allows his program to, again, I made this point on yesterday's show, it allows his program to fly under the radar and to operate without any distractions. Simple as that. And for all of those that get frustrated, all the Spartan fans out there that get frustrated when having this conversation about the whole respect gig when it comes to the Michigan State football program, I'm going to be honest with you. Michigan State is not going to get the respect on the national media stage of a U of M, of an Ohio State, of an Alabama, until they win a championship in the modern era, a national championship in the modern era. Not just a Big Ten championship, okay? They've been there, done that. They will not garner respect on that level of a U of M, of an Ohio State, of an Alabama, and the other stout programs out there until they win a natty presently. Simple as that, folks. So what'd you think of this whole interview, though? I thought it was a horrible job, and you could clearly tell that Mike North and Andy Furman did not do their homework, because if they did, and I had a conversation with our own Brad Walker here about 2 hours ago, if they did, you would realize that this is a program who just went through a huge loss in the passing of Mike Sadler. Wouldn't you lead the interview with something timely like that, something very sentimental and emotional like that? Didn't understand that at all. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, who also, I believe, saved two kittens yesterday. He rescued an old woman from a burning house, I think, yesterday. And, oh, yeah, he also interns at Home TV, in which he was up at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. I actually saw you on the production last night of Home TV's election coverage. Isaac, I don't know how you are alive and awake right now, dude. Welcome to the show.
Well, slept in pretty late today. Slept until about 12, got up, came straight here. But no, I'm with you, Al. I thought you hit the nail right on the head with the last comment more than anything else. And that was by saying that why not start off your interview by talking about Mike Sadler? There are obviously things more important than football, than sports right now. And it seemed like they had an urge to ask Mark D'Antonio a bunch of questions that they hadn't gotten around to. But timeliness in this business is key. It's king. It's paramount. And to avoid that, I mean, you just absolutely neglect your job as a journalist. So not to ask about Mike Sadler, but to ask about Connor Cook's captaincy?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was by far the worst question. Izzo's question, yeah, that was stupid. They were obviously trying to lighten up the mood a little bit, but at the same time, stupid question. But you start off with Sadler. You don't mention Connor Cook unless it is saying, tell us about Tyler O'Connor, who's replacing him, or maybe if it's somebody like Damian Terry, is that quarterback battle still open? Something like that. That's an okay question. But to say, who's this kid behind center? You could ask that to anybody.
And that, you know, saying the way they worded it, I mean, who's the new kid behind center? When you ask a question like that, it goes on to tell me that you have no idea who this quarterback competition includes. They probably don't know who even Tyler O'Connor or Damian Terry or Messiah DeWeaver is. You know, I mean, you say who's the new kid behind center? Well, there's like four of them competing for this position. You know, that's just bad. That makes sports talk host across the board for the casual sports fan out there look totally bad.
It really does.
So I want to move on. I know the Tigers. We'll be chatting with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. The Detroit Tigers, Isaac, have won seven straight games. Now, it's remarkable when evaluating the recent success of this team, but I got to be honest with you. I'm not buying into the hype just yet, all right? Because there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. The Tigers, last time I checked, are still in a division that includes the Cleveland Indians, who are leading the pack right now with a record of 60-44. They have lost two straight, though. And the Tigers, they're only three games in back, but there's still a lot of baseball to be played. So I'm excited to bring on Richard Kincaid later on, just a moment actually, to the show to talk about whether or not this is just a mirage and whether or not the Tigers are for real during this stretch of baseball. I mean, for the Tigers, they have now reached 10 wins over the 500 mark for the first time this year. We've been waiting on this for a long time, folks. And when it comes to the disabled list, now you look at it, the Tigers will activate J.D. Martinez from the DL on Wednesday. So that today, you know, J.D. gets activated. He has missed the last 6 weeks. It's been a long time coming for J.D. He's missed the last 6 weeks with an elbow fracture. Jordan Zimmerman, also a name who's been on the DL for quite some time. He will return tomorrow and will pitch the series finale against the Chicago White Sox. And, you know, and you look at how the Tigers have been able to rally to win seven straight. I mean, if you look at last night, six of the 13 Tigers hits were extra base hits. That's remarkable to me. You look at that sixth inning in particular. I mean, Cameron Maben and Andrew Romine both had triples in the sixth. And how about Miguel Cabrera? I mean, we've seen shades of the Miggy of old, right? Triple crown winner. Miguel Cabrera has homered for the third time in the last two games. Everything is clicking right now for the Tigers. And to put that statement in perspective, a man who we've picked on multiple times throughout this season, and justifiably so because he has not had great outings on the mound for the Tigers, Mr. Anibal Sanchez. Sanchi, played well last night. I mean, when's the last time we've said that? Clearly, his best start of the year, he gave up just one run in six innings. And due to Mike Pelfrey now being placed on the 15-day disabled list with a back strain, Sanchi remained in the starting rotation even with Jordan Zimmermann coming back. So everything seems to be aligning right now for the Tigers. But the big question is this for real? Or is this just a lucky stretch of baseball for the Tigers? Again, they are the hottest team in the American League. Heck, they are the hottest team in all of the majors. No team has won seven straight games. But the Tigers have. Isaac, you buying it or not?
I'm buying it. I think this team has kind of found its groove. I think it almost reaffirms the fact that you should not have made a move at the trade deadline. You mentioned the names that are coming back from injuries. Those are almost added in boost as it is. And the other name I want to bring up, of course, Pelfrey, you mentioned 15-day DL. But before getting there, he was five innings of a nine-inning shutout in an 11-0 victory for this team against the Astros, who they're directly competing with for a playoff spot. This team has now beaten good teams within this win streak. And that's just important as actually winning. They've been rivals who they're contending with for playoff spots, and they've had the bad players, quote unquote, or at least the ones who haven't looked quite as good throughout this year, step up. And that's important for this team. Also for the Tigers, I think that a big move is the batting as well. I mentioned when I was hosting the show probably 2 weeks ago, this team had something along the lines of 10 straight games where they didn't hit for over four runs. 10 straight games of that. And no matter how good your pitching is, and this is not the Tigers' point of pride, but no matter how good your pitching is, you can't win games if you don't score more than four runs on a regular basis. The Tigers are doing that consistently, and they're making it look easy. Everybody's stepping up, and you can't really say anything other than this team is gelling right now.
Now, we'll ask Isaac, when you say that you are buying the Tigers right now, what do you mean? You think they're going to catch the Indians, or do you think that it's a hot stretch of baseball and they make a wild card spot? In what avenue are you buying this team?
I have the wild card spot. I don't think they catch the Indians.
Right.
The Indians still look good. But at the same time, we were just marveling at that, seven game break lead that they had over the Tigers. It's down to three.
Down to three now. It could get very interesting if the Tigers can sustain this success. I'm just not buying it. I've seen this team. I've seen the first half bleeding into the second half of the year, just kind of have ups and downs. And right now they are clearly on the highest of highs with this seven-game win streak. But I'm not going to sip the Kool-Aid just yet.
So no playoffs for you?
I don't know. I think I want to see.
If you had to choose.
Right now in the moment?
Right now.
Put me on the spot here, Isaac. If I had to choose, I think they'd get a wild card spot. They're not catching the Cleveland Indians.
Me too.
If I had to say right now, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say otherwise because they play great in every single area. I mean, Anibal Sanchez had a good game last night. I mean, we'll see, though. And we'll try to get to the bottom of this as we hit our first break here. And we will invite Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. We will invite Richard to the show to talk about, is this just smoke and mirrors? Or is this Detroit Tigers team for real? We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we are proposing a question to all of our listeners out there. With the Detroit Tigers winning now seven straight games and cutting the American League Central lead for the Cleveland Indians down to just three games now, are you buying the recent success of the Detroit Tigers, or is this just one lucky stretch of baseball and the Tigers will return back to form very soon? What do you think? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, folks, hey, did you get a chance to catch out the Independent Lens documentary centered on Clarissa Shields entitled T-Rex, Her Fight for Gold last night? Well, it aired last night on WKAR-TV at 10 p.m., and really a coming-of-age story concerning Shields, who is from the great city of Flint, Michigan. She is ranked as the top women's boxer in the world. She won the 2012 Olympic gold medal out in London, the first year, actually, that female boxing became an Olympic sport. How cool is that, right? But it was a great documentary. Again, from Flint, she was just 17 years old when she won that gold medal for women's boxing back in 2012, and she now has a record of 69-1. She is ranked number one in the world, heading into her second Olympic competition, the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Summer Games. And the film is so cool because it traces her rise as an Olympic athlete from the streets of Flint to the podium in London, as the subsequent challenges and disappointments as Clarissa watches fellow athletes receive recognition and endorsements, while none come forward to support her, raising questions about race, class, gender bias, and agents even come in at one point in the film and suggest that she should soften her image. But Clarissa is her own person. You know, it's pretty cool because one point in the documentary, they sit down with her, members of the USA Boxing Commission, and they say, you know, she had done a few interviews, one of them I remember with Stephen Colbert, and they show a clip from the Colbert Report, which he has his own late night show, right? He replaced, who did Colbert replace?
John Stewart.
Trevor Noah actually replaced John Stewart. Because Stephen
David
Colbert.
David Letterman.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert replaced David Letterman on late night talk show. But, you know, they have a snippet from when Clarissa Shields was on the Colbert Report, and Colbert asked him, I mean, what do you like about female boxing? And she talks about how she loves hitting people. And, you know, you have these individuals from the U.S. Boxing Commission sit down with Shields and they say, hey, you can't say stuff like that. You know, you can't say you want to beat up, you like beating up people and making them cry because it's an image thing. And Clarissa's like, what? But I'm a boxer, you know? She didn't understand, you know, I understood where she was coming from because there are many people out there when looking from an endorsement standpoint that want to say, okay, do we really want someone that raw representing our product and our brand? But at the same time, Clarissa is her own person. You know, if you can't deal with that, you know, kick rocks. And I totally agree with her there. And, you know, there's one point in the documentary when she talks about how Gabby Douglas, of course, member of the 2012 Fierce Five, along with DeWitt's very own Jordan Weber, how Gabby, when she won her gold medal, I mean, everybody was in love with her. You know, she was on magazines. She was being talked about from wall to wall on primetime television. Then you have Clarissa Shields who won the gold for the first time ever in the sport, really getting no recognition. So, you know, it was so interesting just to watch that unfold in the documentary. So it's entitled T-Rex, Her Fight for Gold. It aired last night at 10 p.m., and I'm sure it's going to be played throughout the week on WKAR-TV. I also got the chance to head out to Flint, and we profiled this on yesterday's show. I headed out to Flint along with other members of the WKAR-TV team, and we gave an advanced screening at Burston Fieldhouse, the home training hub of Miss Shields. And I got to talk with her trainer, a former trainer now, Jason Crutchfield, who is all throughout the entire film, and also Bryant Nolden, who is the executive director of Burston Fieldhouse as well. And I put together a nice piece that you know, there's footage from the gym itself, there's footage from the screening that we had. So if you want to check out that and so much more, go to WKAR.org to watch that. All right, folks, well, we got him. He's on line one right now. Again, we're proposing our question to all of our listeners out there with the Tigers winning now seven straight games. And now within three games of the top spot in the American League Central, are you buying the hype that is in present time with this Tigers team. Is it the Tigers we've all been waiting for, and can they sustain this success? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, while you guys are calling in, we'll try to get to the bottom of it with our very own dear friend of current sports, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. First off, Rich, how you doing, my man?
Well, I wanted to point out to Al that on several occasions I've been asked to soften my image, and I've always politely declined.
In what way, Rich? I mean, come on now. You're a likable guy. In what way did you have to soften your image?
Well, no. I was just playing off what your previous story there.
Right, exactly.
But anyway.
Well, Rich, let's get down to it, man. I mean, is this smoke and mirrors, or is this Detroit Tigers team finally showing the potential we've all been waiting for?
Sheesh. I can't figure this team out. Look at what happened prior to this 7-game winning streak, right? They're playing the Minnesota Twins at home, and they lose 2 out of 3. The Twins are the worst team in the American League. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Chicago, and they drop 3 out of 4 there. And the White Sox, they're not very good, right? And that series ends with the Tigers losing the 2 games in 1 day. You know, the completion of the suspended game from Saturday night and then the regularly scheduled game on Sunday. And this is a week ago Sunday, you recall the Tigers were trailing in the ninth inning and they hit 3 home runs to tie. And you're thinking, well, here we go. But then they blow in the bottom of the ninth inning and they leave with their Tiger tails dragging between their legs. You know, they've lost 3 out of 4 to Chicago. They're only 3 games over 500. They're 7 games out of first place. It's just not looking good. And then 3 gutty wins. Over the Red Sox on the road, 2 of them 1-run victories, great ball games. They sweep the Houston Astros. That is the big game there was when Verlander shut them out through 8. The Tigers were leading 1-0, and then Verlander just 3 fluky singles. You know, nothing solid, little bloops, ground balls, you know, in the hole. But those 3 singles add up to 2 runs for the Astros, and they take a 2-1 lead into the bottom of the ninth. It's the Tigers with 2-out rally. Score a couple of runs, win that ball game. That may be the biggest game of the year. And they go on to sweep the Astros in that series, and then they start their series against Chicago last night with the just pounding them. They're ahead 8-0, and they wind up winning, or 8-1. They wind up winning at 11-5. So, yeah, 7-game win streak. And if they keep hitting like this, you know, then for sure it's for real. But, you know, the question, I don't think they can. Miguel Cabrera during the streak is hitting .462 with an OPS of rather eye-opening 1.6, 1.593. Victor Martinez hitting .444 during the streak. And Justin Upton, who has been such a disappointment this year, there's no other way to put it. Mm-hmm. During the winning streak, though, he's hitting .333 with a slugging percentage of .667. Prior to the streak, he was hitting .235. So his average during the streak is about 100 points better. And his slugging percentage during the streak is about 300 points better than it was prior to the streak when it was at 387. So on the offensive side, the big guys that are supposed to provide the offense have been doing so. And pitching, you know, remember the Tigers are doing this without Zimmerman, who's been on the disabled list since June the 30th, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was their number one guy there for the first few months of the season. Well, since June the 2nd, Justin Verlander, as you know, he's picked up the slack. He's gone 7-1, looking like the Justin of old, with an ERA of a 3 and opponent batting average .213. The win, by the way, last night by Anibal Sanchez, his first win as a starter, so if you can believe it, since April 28th.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time.
It is a long time. Remember, he was demoted to the bullpen, but when Zimmerman got hurt, they started working him back into the rotation, and he has shown some improvement here of late. But as we say, boy, from April to August without a win as a starter, that's obviously a long stretch. And I think the story of the year for the Tigers would be the rookie Michael Fulmer they got for as part of the deal for Jonas Cespedes when he went to the Mets last year. Fulmer was the guy the Mets didn't want to give up, their top pitching prospect. Ultimately, they did, though. And it looks like the Mets were right about this kid. 9-2. This is his rookie season, of course, with an ERA of 2.5. And he's not yet pitched 100 innings. So that's a good sign because sometimes with these young kids, they get up around 130, 150 innings and they shut them down to save the wear and tear on the arms. But as we say, he's just under 100 innings pitched this year. So if nobody's going to keep hitting like Cabrera and Martinez have been hitting during the 7-game win streak, again, with batting averages of .462. for Cabrera and 444 for Martinez. So that they'll cool down. You would expect, you know, back into the regular atmosphere as opposed to the stratosphere. But, you know, they're only three games out of first place now because Cleveland has been struggling a bit since the All-Star break. They're even 500, 8-8 since the break. So they're backing up a little bit. And the Tigers are as close to first place right now as they have been since mid-June. So Cleveland's definitely looking over their shoulders right now.
So looking in your crystal ball, Rich, I mean, they're three games in back of the Indians, and again, they're knocking on the door of a wild card spot if that doesn't pan out. Do the Tigers make the playoffs? And do you think they can catch the Indians by any stretch of the imagination?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, three games and at this stage, the first week in August, you know, there's a lot of baseball to go, right? Whether the Tigers played 107 games, so they got 55 to go, something like that. I haven't got their record in front of me right now when I make that statement, but it's in that ballpark. You got the contenders all have actually they played 106 games now that we see it. So that's 56 games to go. That's a lot of baseball. That's essentially one third of the season. So plenty of time to catch Cleveland. The thing that kills you though is the fact that the Tigers are 1-11 against the Tribe this year. Remember they lost their first 11 games to Cleveland this season. If they had just done something reasonable. I mean, really, if they were 4-8 against Cleveland this year instead of 1-11, they'd be tied for first place with the Indians.
Just
how do you lose 11 straight to the same team as they did? But as we say, they're showing some cracks. The Cleveland Indians, you know, they had that 13 game win streak back earlier on this year. They were the hottest team in baseball for a two-month stretch. Nobody really saw this. Were you thinking the Cleveland Indians were going to be a World Series contender prior to the season? I mean, I wasn't.
No, not at all.
I was thinking they're going to be right there around 500, maybe
right.
A little less. But, their starting pitching is the best in baseball, that rotation of theirs. And I think that's been, if you pitch the best. Well, you know, this is interesting, too. You always say if you pitch the best, you're going to be successful. The Tigers, the team ERA is 21st in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. Not too good, right? However, right behind them in 22nd place are the Texas Rangers, and the Rangers have the best record in Major League, or I should say, in the American League.
So what does that say, Rich?
I don't know what it says. I think it says they hit pretty good. But there again, I mean, they've lost Prince Fielder, right, for the rest of the season for the second time in 2 years. And back or neck problems? So maybe it's neck. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Mm. But I mean, he was hitting around 200 for him this season. So they must have a lot of other guys on that team that can hit the baseball. But it's unusual for a team to be ranked that low in ERA and have the best record in the league. Very unusual.
Richard, Jordan Zimmermann and J.D. Martinez, they will return this week. And, you know, I think that when you evaluate guys like Jay Zim and Martinez being on the disabled list when the trade deadline loomed and ended on Monday at 4 p.m., I think that had a lot to do with the reason why the Tigers said, you know what, we really don't need to make any moves here. Do you think not making any moves before the trade deadline expired was the right move for the Tigers?
Well, time will tell. But you got used to Dave Dombrowski making major trades at the trade deadline over the last several years that he was in Detroit. So it was unusual to see Detroit stand pat. But when you think about it, getting Zimmermann back, getting Martinez back, that's almost like a trade. I mean, you are adding guys to your roster who weren't there at the trade deadline. So you could look at it that way. And I got to say something about Martinez. The night he got hurt on that fly ball in Kansas City.
Yeah.
When he picked up the baseball with a broken arm, a broken elbow, and he picks the thing up and threw it back into the infield, that was one of the guttiest things I've ever seen in athletics, and much less just in a baseball game. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was. It took some gusto, didn't it?
Yeah. What's that?
It took some gusto, didn't it? It took some guts to do
golly,
that.
Golly, I guess. On the one hand, I've broken a collarbone, for example, and the shock that sets in almost immediately, it doesn't hurt like it's going to hurt. Mm. But nevertheless, to run over, the ball was a good 15, 20 feet away from him, but to run over like he did and pick it up, and it wasn't a great throw, mind you, but he did get it back to the first baseman and prevent the inside the park home run. And I just thought, what a guy. And I have been so impressed by the way he has handled this injury situation. Not just hanging around, but being in the dugout and trying to learn things and encouraging his teammates, the whole thing. He's just been terrific. It'll be I really have a lot of admiration for him. It'll be great to see him back in the lineup. The thing about Zimmerman, the thing you worry about with any pitcher coming back after a long, and he's been out for longer than expected. He's been gone for 2 months now, remember. How long does it take him to regain his form?
Right.
Or does he completely regain his form? But if he does, you're talking about a guy who's going to be well-rested. You know, he's going to be his innings pitched number, again, which is such a key statistic in baseball now. It used to be you'd hardly pay attention to it. You'd throw guys out there, and they'd pitch 300 innings plus, and then on you go. But they watch it so carefully now. But his innings pitched will be low, and he should be fresh, so that very well could be a key for the Tigers down the stretch here.
Yeah, before we get you out of here, Rich, again, Mike Pelfrey, he's been placed on the 15-day disabled list, and I think in many regards that will mean that Sanchi, he will stay in that starting rotation instead of being moved to the bullpen now, even with Jay Zim coming back. So you get Zimmerman back, you get Martinez back. How effective do you think Zimmerman and Martinez will be off the bat for this Detroit Tigers team?
Well, there's no way of telling. Generally speaking, it does take a while, especially, I think, for a pitcher. Although they're still careful now about bringing them back. You know, you throw so many bullpen sessions and simulated games, and oftentimes you'll go down to the minor leagues for a start or two. But they're so careful now that he should actually I expect to be in pretty good shape. Martinez, it'll take him a week, maybe, to get that timing back. That's almost all invariably the case with a hitter. So it'll be a little while, but again, it's going to be good to get him back. The one I'm really hoping for in terms of maintaining a plus 500 record for the Tigers, who, by the way, this is the first time Detroit's been 10 games over 500 since the last day of the 2014 season.
A long time coming.
But,
yeah.
My key guy is I think the biggest surprise to me, pleasant surprise, has been Cameron Maben, who leads the team with a .329 average.
He's my Tiger. I love him, Rich. I mean, Cameron, attitude is just refreshing.
Totally different guy than when he was with Detroit earlier, but he's older now.
Right.
You know, he's running back in those days. He was a rookie, and rookies are going to be reticent. But now that he's an established major leaguer, just a wonderful guy. Terrific ball player. But the guy, I really think, so much depends on Upton being able to keep it up. You know, if he slides back to his hitting .230, not hitting for power form that he showed up until this winning streak, that's a problem. You know, he's really got it. If he steps it up, if he's able to maintain some semblance of his career statistics, that is to say a batting average of around .300 and some decent power over the remaining 2 months of the season, well, that may make all the difference for the Tigers.
All right. The one, the only, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich, always a good time chatting with you. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Absolutely. I guess we'll see you at the end of the month when the football season restarts. They don't end and start anymore. They just restart.
Exactly. That's what it's all about now, right? Especially when it comes to satellite camps. Just ask Jim Harbaugh about
exactly.
That, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks so much, Rich. All right. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting about LeBron James chasing a ghost. I'll explain. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're never going out of style. Ooh, pretty baby. This world might have gone crazy. The way you...
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just 5 minutes left here in the show. We just wrapped up an interesting chat with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, centered on the Detroit Tigers. If you missed it, you know that we post each and every episode of Current Sports about an hour after it airs on our website at WKAR.org. So if you missed that chat, just log on to your laptop, smartphone, or any other internet device and check it out. All right, to wrap up today's show, this comment, this quote, has gotten so much airtime in the past few days. Sports Illustrated sat down with LeBron for an interesting piece that puts in perspective, of course, delivering Cleveland his first major championship since Jim Brown and the Cleveland Browns back in the 60s. A very interesting article. And there's one quote that talks about what is currently motivating LeBron as he enters the next phase of his NBA career. And he goes on to say, quote, "I'm chasing a ghost. The ghost played in Chicago," end quote. Now, we all know who that ghost that he's referring to is, and that ghost is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Now, when I first heard the comment, I was a bit surprised because I haven't heard LeBron engage in any banter, in any dialogue when it comes to comparison in quite some time, especially comparison to a man that he looked up to when he first entered the league. He even donned Michael Jordan's number, the famous 23, right? But for me, Isaac, I think that LeBron, this wasn't LeBron's place to bring this up and create this sideshow, if you ask me. Now, I know we are going to be in two different sides of the spectrum because you believe that LeBron James still has a shot at possibly becoming the greatest basketball player of all time. If you are comparing yourself to Michael Jordan, I tell you what, man, the margin of error is so slim that if you have any hiccups throughout your NBA career, you immediately go out of the conversation. I just think that when you evaluate LeBron James' career right now, and in comparison to the greatest of all time, which had a pretty much flawless NBA career, he won 6 NBA championships. He didn't lose in NBA Finals. He was an MVP in each and every single one of those NBA Finals appearances. He also was a DPOY. He won the Defensive Player of the Year. When you evaluate Michael Jordan's resume, it is so perfect. It is so unblemished that if you don't start your NBA career hot and keep it sizzling throughout the majority of your career, you're already behind the curve, dude. And I just think that LeBron has now created yet another sideshow, yet another dialogue that just didn't need to happen here. I don't think that anybody right now playing the game is going to eclipse what Michael Jordan meant to the game of basketball. It is going to eclipse Michael Jordan's accolades. And I think that LeBron may be regretting this one as his career goes on and closes it out.
Now, I don't know if LeBron was actually trying to stir up any controversy. I don't know the actual setting of this context and comment, but at the same time, I don't mind it whatsoever. I like it because what shows to me is LeBron has a realistic sense of what his standing in all-time great status is, and that's that he's behind Michael Jordan right now, because we can all agree on that. Anybody saying LeBron's better than MJ at this point just does not have the stats and the facts to back it up. At the same time, like you said, I believe that it is in the offing. I'm not saying it would happen. At the same time, I think it's very possible, especially seeing that MJ won, I believe, 3 of his championships after the age of 30. So I think LeBron, he's got a point. I like the poeticism of this as well. Chasing a ghost, it suggests that you almost can't catch it. It's a smart quote. It's very savvy.
I dig that. We'll continue this tomorrow, too. And I'm going to go into, and I've done a lot of, I've had a lot of time to really digest this conversation of who's on the Mount Rushmore of basketball. And the names I'm going to bring up tomorrow, I don't think anybody can argue with. All right? So we'll dive into that on tomorrow's show. All right, folks, we are out of time. Much thanks to Richard Kincaid. Thanks to Seth Kinker, Isaac Constance, and, of course, you for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.